For Parshas Pentecost, we have six Divrei Torah, and we're going to start at the beginning of the Parsha, just a little bit background. In last week's Parsha, Parshas Balak, Bilaam was unsuccessful at cursing Klal Yisrael, so then Bilaam gave Balak advice, and he says, send out the women, the non-Jewish women, and let them entice the Jewish men, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hates promiscuity, and the Jews will be punished accordingly. So Balak followed suit. He gets the Moabite women, the Midianite women, to make themselves available to the Jewish men. And it got so extreme that it was even one Jewish man, one of the leaders of the tribes, who cohabited with a Midianite woman, in public. Not only in public, it was right in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, right in front of the whole Moed. What a tremendous Chilul Hashem. And Pinchas took the law into his hands. It says, Kanaim Pogimba. If somebody sees such a terrible sin going on in certain circumstances, there's a halacha that a zealot can take the law into his own hands and can put the people who are committing that atrocity to death. And that's what he did. And the result, this week's Parsha, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Yubeis, Lachen Emor, Hineni Nosem Lo Es Brisi Shalom, I am giving to Pinchas because he acted in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop this tremendous Chilul Hashem. I am giving him a covenant of Shalom, a covenant of peace. And in fact, the Medrash has something interesting but cryptic. It says, Bedin Hu Shiito Scharo, he has a coming to him, he has a right to this Schar. What does that mean? He has the legal right to this schar, to this credit, this reward that he's getting. So, truth be told, the Chidush Ha'arim says that when somebody does a mitzvah, when somebody does a chesed, when somebody learns Torah, he has nothing coming to him. We would not say bedin hu shiito schar, that he has schar, he has credit coming to him. Why? Because we are simply fulfilling what we are obligated to do. And when we do what we're obligated to do, we shouldn't be getting any schar for that. We shouldn't be getting any reward for that. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us as a chesed. Not that we have a right to it. Not that we have it coming to us. But as a chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you did mitzvahs, because you did X, Y, and Z, I'm going to give you schar for it. In fact, the Pasuk says that explicitly, Ulecha Hashem HaChesed Ki Atam Mishalem Le'ish Kamaseyo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a chesed that you do when you give reward to people based on their deeds, based on the mitzvahs that they do. So we see here that getting reward, schar for mitzvahs, is a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that we have it coming to us. But that is the case specifically when somebody is fulfilling a chiyuv, when he's fulfilling something he's obligated to do, we're obligated to fulfill the Torah. But when somebody does more, if he does lifnim mishuras hadin, more than he's required to do, for example, what Pinchas did, had Pinchas gone to Beis Din and said, this is what's going on in Klal Yisrael, they have a man and a woman and they're cohorting publicly together, can I kill them? They would have said, Halacha vein morim chen. We're not going to tell you to do that. You can't do that. We're not going to tell you. We can't tell you to go and kill them. And he did it anyway. So we have Pinchas doing something that he wasn't obligated to do. He went lifti mishuras hadin. When somebody puts in extra effort above and beyond what is required to do, that's when he has bedin hu shiito schara. That's when he has a right to get the schar. Otherwise, all of the mitzvahs that we do otherwise is simply a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch. And obviously, we should do all the mitzvahs. We should do every mitzvah we can. But here we see the message that we should try and go lifni mishuras hadin. We should do even more than required by the Torah, because that's when the real schar is received. Not that we should do it for schar, but still we see that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really desires. We are now moving forward to Perek Chavav Pasuk Hey, a census, another census of Klal Yisrael. And if we look various psukim, we'll choose one here. It says, Lachanoch Mishpachas HaChanochi. So Chanoch was the family of Chanochi. So what's HaChanochi? The name is Chanoch. So we see that in each of these names, the Torah adds on two letters, a hey at the beginning and a yud at the end. So Rashi comments as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his name, that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yud and a hey is ka, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hey on one side, Yun on the other, and what's going on here? Now that we're taking the census of Kol Yisrael, Rashi comments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by putting his name on the names of these families, Meid Ani Aleihem Shem Bnei Avoseim, I am giving edus, I'm giving testimony that they have clean yichus, that they are really the children of their avos, that they have a clear and clean lineage. So what's going on here? We'll explain shortly. So we're going to ask the following question. This is the question of the Kli Yakar. If we want to slap the name or place the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, onto the word Hachanochi, we should have done it in order of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name is Yud Hey, and here we're adding the Hey before and the Yud afterward. We're going out of order. It should have been Yud at the beginning and Hey at the end. So why is it swapped? So the Kli Yakar answers beautifully, and he brings that there's a chazal that say as follows, Ish v'isha shchina shruya b'neim. When we have a man and a woman, the shchina, which is Yud Hey, that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it descends upon him. And what's going on here, that they have the Yud and the Hey descend upon a man and woman when they act properly and they adhere to the requirements of the Torah and they stay sacred to each other, and they don't exceed the bounds of marriage, and they adhere to the requirements of Taras and Mishpacha, they have a marriage together, and they do not go out of that marriage bond. And when it came to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and thereafterwards, the women absolutely stuck with the requirements of Snias. They stayed absolutely loyal to their husbands. There was only one exception, one. Out of hundreds of thousands, Chazal tell us that Shlomi's Bas Dibri, she cohorted with an Egyptian, and she was actually the mother of the Mekoshe, so the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So there was only one woman who did not remain loyal to the halachas and requirements of staying loyal to your marriage. On the other hand, it says about the men that they had a difficult time when they were given the halachas of Arias, that you can only cohort with somebody you're married to, you can't cohabit with people who are relatives, etc. The Parshas Balosko says, Bochel Mishpachosav, that they were crying about Iske Mishpachot, they were crying over this. They said, this is going to be too difficult. Well, we've been had freedom till now. We've been able to do what we want in these areas, and now we're being limited in a way that it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible for us. So the men do not adhere to the requirements of Tnias and Taras HaMishpacha. And accordingly, when we have that Chazal that says Ish V'Isha, what's an Ish? It has a Yud added to it. And an Isha has an Hey added to it. So Ish V'Isha, we have Ka. The Yud and the Hey descends upon them when they adhere to the requirements of Taras HaMishpacha and loyalty to the spouse. So now that we are in this pasuk, it says Lachanoch Mishpachas Achanochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving edus the cleanliness of their yichus. It was really the women that adhered to that, and less so the men. And that's why we're going to put the hey of the woman isha at the beginning of Achanochi, and the yud of the man, the ish, at the end of it, because it was really the women that were so strict about keeping the cleanliness of the yichus of Klal Yisrael. A beautiful explanation of that. Now we're moving forward to number 3. We are in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows most of the land of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu will not be going in. So Moshe now says, if I'm not going in, we need to discuss a successor who will lead Klal Yisrael. And Moshe says, we really need a leader who will lead, not follow, says the Pasuk as follows, Asher Yetze Lifneim, this leader has to go in front of them and be a leader, Asher Yavo Lifneim, will come in front of them, Asher Yotziem, they will take them out, will bring them in. So the Avnei Ozel says as follows, that a true manhig is somebody who elevates the people to his level. He has to be on a higher level, and he elevates them, and he does not lower himself. And that's what it says, saying, he has to be the leader. He has to be the person who is in front, who is leading, who is elevating, who is showing the priorities, who is making sure that people adhere to the priorities and don't get off track. And he's not simply lowering his values and his agenda to be lowered by the people and their desires. And in fact, The Chidush Harim says, when a leader leads, he elevates them. As follows, Asher Yotziem, Shuhu Mafkiem Min HaShiflus VaTumah, he has to raise them out of being lowly. Out of Tumah, out of impurity, that's Yotziem, take them out of the cesspool. VaSher Yiviem, and he will bring them, once you take them out of the lows, you have to bring them to higher and higher levels of Kedusha. So that's Asher Yotziem, take them from the bad and bring them, Asher Yiviem, take them into the good. And in fact, there is a very famous vort that goes as follows. Chazal tell us that as follows, Be'ikfasad HaMashiach, at the time of the pains of when the Mashiach is coming, Pnei Hador kepnei HaKelev, the Pnei, the face of the door will be like the face of a Kelev. What does that mean? So Rav Yisrael Salanter explains as follows. What's the Teva, what's the nature of a dog? A dog will run in front of a master. Master's back, dog is running in front. Looks like the dog doesn't care. He's a leader, he's in front. But truth be told, that dog turns around every so often to make sure that its owner is following. In other words, it's giving off the impression of being a leader, but it really cares about being followed. It really is a follower, effectively, because he's constantly turning around to make sure that the owner is together with him. So that is not a real sign of a leader. The leader has to lead without being concerned about being followed. The leader has to lead independent and has to prioritize and lead as the leader. So accordingly, it goes as follows. The Chazal tell us that in the time of Mashiach, the pains of Mashiach coming, the Pnei Ador, who are the Pnei Ador? Those are the people who are purportedly the leaders of the generation. A leader, as we said, has to lead, not be concerned about lowering his agenda to the expectations of the followers. But when that leader acts like a dog, and that's what the Medrash is telling us, Chadal Saul is telling us, it's actually a Gemara and Sota, when the leaders are so concerned about the followers, the constituents, and the leaders are setting their agenda, their priorities, not based on what should be, not based on ethics, values, needs of the people, but they are concerned about addressing the demands of the people and unfortunately lowering the requirements and maybe even going in the wrong direction with the requirements and priorities. That is a leader that is acting like a dog. That dog that looks like a leader but is turning around to see that the constituents, the owner is following. So too, when we are in the time of Mashiach, which we are right now, the time of leading up to Mashiach, the pains, the difficult times leading up to the coming of Mashiach, the Pnei Ador, those leaders, are going to act like the dog in the sense that they are going to be too concerned about their constituents. They're going to be trying to find out what are people saying about them in the street, and what are they saying in the newspapers, and what are they saying on the internet, and let me find out so I can adjust my agenda because I want to be popular. That's not acting like a leader. That's acting like the dog. We are now moving forward to number 4, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, Lotia Adas Hashem Kitzon Asher Ein Lahem Ro'eh. This is a continuing discussion between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Klal Yisrael should not be like a flock that doesn't have a shepherd. So truth be told, a shepherd typically is somebody that's not concerned so much about the flock, but about himself. He owns the flock. They're there for his benefit. And they're an asset of his, wants to take care of it, the asset, not because he cares about the flock, the animals, but he cares about himself. But truth be told, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that we're looking for a different type of leader. Not a leader that's looking out for himself, but we're looking for a leader whose concern is the constituents and not himself. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. We need a leader. They shouldn't be like a flock, the typical flock that only has a leader that is caring about himself. They don't have a real leader. We need for Klal Yisrael a roe that is concerned about the people, for the people, on behalf of the people, looking out for the people. We need to be sure that we have that type of roe and not the standard leader who's concerned about himself, concerned about his legacy, concerned about stashing bribes into his pockets, concerned about his ego. We're not looking for a type of leader like that. We need the type of leader who is concerned about the constituents, and that is the sole focus. That is the explanation of the Ksav Sofer. Now we are moving forward to Vort number 5, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav, says as follows, V'nasata mechotcha alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to give of your majesty, your greatness to the leader. And there's a diuk on the word mechotcha, from your hud, from your majesty. So the Gemara Baba Basra makes a diuk, meh is a part of. Don't give all of your hud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give all of his majesty, all of his majestic being, but only part of it. So the Zakenim in that generation said, Pnei Moshe k'pnei chama, the face of Moshe was like the face of the sun in its strength. And the Pnei Yeshua k'pnei halavana, but on the other hand, Yeshua, the face of Yeshua is like that of the moon. We'll have to explain what that means. And then it continues, Oy la la'osa busha, v'oy la la'osa chlima wol, unto this embarrassment and this disgrace. So what is going on here? We could explain it that the elders of the generation then are saying, we used to have Moshe Rabbeinu who had so much of the Chod, the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now Yeshua is only getting Mechodcha. He's only getting a little bit of it. Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun. Yeshua is like the moon. Whoa, what a disgrace that we have. We only have Yeshua. But that would be one explanation, but that's not what the Chidah says. The Chidah says something else totally is going on here. What's the blusha? What's the chlima? What's the embarrassment? What's the disgrace that is this being discussed about this Kanim? It's not that Yeshua is a blusha. It's Chas V'Shalom. They were the ones who have the busha. They were the ones that had the klima. As follows, there's a medrash that says, why was Yeshua Zolcha to be the manig of Klal Yisrael after Moshe? He was the person who was the servant, the assistant of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, the Medrash says that the big schus of Yeshua was that he used to set up the benches in the base of Medrash in the morning and the night. He would set up the mats that people would sit on. He would straighten up. He would clean the tissues when people left them over. That's what Yeshua did. And because of that, because he was Meshamash Rosh Rabbeinu and he was so caring of the klal that he would set everything up day in, day out, despite the hassle. And it was an embarrassing job, potentially. Obviously, Yeshua didn't think so. But could it be viewed as a demeaning job? He didn't care. He wanted to do the right thing. But at that time, the Zakenim, as they watched Yeshua setting up the base of Medrash, they said, this is a disgraceful job to do. This is a lowly job to do, to have to set up the base Medrash and to put the Sfarim away and to make sure that the seats are in the right place and to sweep the floor. That's a blusha, that's a klima. And they didn't do it, but Yeshua did. And now we have the appointment of Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass away. Yeshua is replacing Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have the elders looking back. And why was Yeshua Zolches? Because he's the one who set up the base medrash. He's the one who swept up. And they said, and we thought that was such a lowly thing to do. We didn't want to do it. Oy lo la osa busha. Oy lo. Woe unto that busha. We thought it was embarrassing back then. Yeah, it wasn't embarrassing. That was the right thing to do. And now we're embarrassed because we could have been so much better. But now we're relegated to being the Mishamshim, those who are going to be assisting Yeshua, the young Yeshua. He was the Talmud, and he's being appointed because we were embarrassed to do something. The real embarrassment is that we were embarrassed to do that, says the Chidah. That's the embarrassment. So when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the sun, Yeshua is the moon, that's a very positive thing. He was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the busha and chima is not that Moshe, that Yeshua is the moon, but rather busha and chima is that we weren't the ones that were setting up the base medrash because we thought it was a lowly job. And now we're moving forward to number 6 in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Yotes, in bringing of the various of Karbonos. So it says, V'hikraftem Ishe Ole LaHashem, that when you bring the Ishe, the fire offering, it's a korban ola to HaKadosh Baruch, it's an elevation offering. And says the Ketusha Slevi, Rav Levi Yitzhak Miber Dechav, if we are makriv korbanos be'ishe, with fire. What does that mean? It's not only talking about korbanos, when we act as a Jew, when we do a mitzvah, when we do a chesed, when we learn our Torah, if we do it with fire, if we do it with desire, if we do it with passion, that is an ola LaHashem. That is something that gives a nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kraftem isha, when we bring the fire of desire, when we have passion in doing our mitzvahs, that is an ola LaHashem. That is an elevation offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is elated and elevated through the mitzvahs that we do with passion. Thank you so much for listening.